York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Okay, so we've got a little study done on, I've got a bunch of tweets. You can follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. Welcome to the big radio show on this Thursday, the 29th of March, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. We are, so the study was done by this University of Maryland professor. People are saying, well, in my march, it was, it doesn't matter. No, this was in D.C. is where she had her team. And they spread out and marched around. They're used to protest. And if you ever been to Washington, there's always a protest or two or three or four going on. They literally have permits. Capitol Police give out permits by like the half hour. Okay, your group can protest in front of the White House between 2 and 2:30. Okay, your group, 2:30 already. Your group can be there at 2:45 to 3:15. All right, your group, and if you stand in front of the White House or hang out in Lafayette Park for any length of time whatsoever, you will see it. Here comes a handful of people, and they're sometimes bigger crowds, sometimes smaller, but they've got their signs about whatever their cause is. And then go have lunch and come back, and there's another group there with a bunch of different signs, and that's what their cause is. And I don't understand if they really think they're getting anywhere, but because they're just one of a bunch of groups to the point where nobody pays any attention to any of them. Now, the march on Saturday was big, but I'm talking about a regular day in Washington. There's always some protest going on. So this professor has got plenty of laboratories to work on regarding protest, and she brings her team of students, and they go out and ask all these questions, but they're all in D.C. So it may not be where you were, but it, I don't think it reflects the rest of the nation, but we'll see what happens. We're not that far from November. We'll see what kind of protests. That's where the real protests that make a difference show up. By the way, so I began to tell you that the other ramification of Parkland is not only did they have their march, but also the NRA people are joining in huge numbers, and they're sending in donations. The Federal Election Commission shows donations to the NRA's Political Victory Fund tripled from January to February. Tripled. This is their, they have lots of different funds, but this is their Political Victory Fund. This is the fund that they use to write checks to candidates. And so if you are a candidate, and everybody gives the NRA a hard time, but if you are a candidate for Congress, you're going to get donations from all kinds of different groups that want to earn your favor. They obviously ask you how you feel, and if you anywhere near align with their ideas, they're going to write you checks. Emily's List, oh man, if you are a Democrat and a woman running for office, Emily's List will write you a bunch of big checks. If you're a Republican and you are in gun country, which is a big swath of this nation, NRA will write you a check. So I don't know about this business about they own you. I think that basically it's a kindred spirit thing. They know who you are, and they want to make sure you get elected as opposed to a person from the other side of the aisle. So January, this Political Victory Fund got 248,000 individual contributions. February got 779,000. So we're waiting for the gun manufacturers. It's also interesting that Remington just filed for bankruptcy, the oldest gun manufacturer in America. They filed on, Monday or Tuesday, because sales have been down like 30%. Because the best gun salesman in America retired. At the beginning January of 2017. So with Obama out and Trump in, a lot of people said, I'm not going to worry about them taking my guns. That's why I did this to kind of yank your chain the other day about the op-ed in the New York Times by retired Justice John Paul Stevens that was about, well, the real way you want to solve all this is to repeal the Second Amendment. So I came on the air, I don't know if you were listening the other day, and I said, great, go for it. Go for it. Just step. Why haven't they been doing that? Why haven't the anti-gun people put together a rally to get rid of the Second Amendment? Our founding fathers said, you can amend anything because we can't tell the future. But they haven't done it because they know the bar is pretty high, but they also know that they don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, because then those of you that are concerned, even the slightest bit interested in the Second Amendment, and you see somebody saying, I want to get rid of that. Well, wait a minute. First of all, you want to get rid of one of my rights? Who are you? I'm going to vote for the other person. So it's one of those things where I think with that kind of publicity, I think what John Paul Stevens did was he just gave the NRA, I'll bet you their March donations are way up. We don't know yet. Got to wait for the month to end. But I'll bet you they're way up on the news that he wants to repeal the Second Amendment. And I'll bet you gun sales are going back up again. I know they've got Donald Trump there, but Donald Trump has also done some things to make gun owners a little nervous. He got in that room, you know, in the cabinet room, and he had all those people in there, and Dianne Feinstein was sitting next to him, and he was talking, don't be afraid of the NRA. There's nothing to be afraid of with them. So he was kind of bashing the NRA. And he was talking about raising the age for buying a gun. And he was talking about getting rid of bump stocks. And he was talking about, hey, let's pass some laws here for better background checks, all that stuff. He sounded very much like a lot of the people that are promoting things that are against guns. And I think that scared a lot of gun owners. Now, somebody got to him because it was a couple days later and he went, never mind. Whatever I said the other day, don't pay any attention to it. So, Center for Responsive Politics, which tracks political spending, tracked itemized contributions, donations of $200 or more by an individual in the days before and after the shooting in Parkland. According to their data, in the 2 weeks after the shooting, itemized contributions to the NRA doubled from the previous 2 weeks. They also found the number of people contributing in the 7 days after the shooting increased almost 500% from the week before. The Center for Responsive Politics says it's unclear what caused the spike. Well, I know what it was. President Trump making comments suggesting he might support tougher gun regulations. That threw a lot of people for a tizzy, and the money came pouring in. So that's the money going in. Then I've got another story that's tied in with this, with the Parkland shooting. And I find this bizarre and frightening. But teenage girls are sending the Florida shooter love letters and photos of them in bikinis. Teenage girls and young women been flooding the Florida shooter with fan mail. This is the guy that killed the 17 people at the high school. His lawyers are refusing to show them to him. I don't know if lawyers can do that, but they are doing that. The women have sent the shooter gushing love letters, revealing photos of themselves. Some have added jokes about gummy bears and peanut butter. Here's one. I'm really skinny and have 34 C-sized breasts. Another woman in Chicago sent him 9 salacious photos, shots of her cleavage and backside, and one of her in a bikini eating a popsicle. The Broward County Public Defender, Howard Finkelstein, said he's never seen anything like it in his 40 years on the job. He says, the letters shake me up because they are written by regular, everyday teenage girls from across the nation. That scares me. It's perverted. Also, they've received, they've sent money. $800 so far has been collected by his, sent by his fans. That money has been deposited in his commissary account. I don't know. This isn't anything really new. When I worked in California, it was common knowledge that there was a group of women that met outside of San Quentin on a regular basis to go in, that goes through the whole process, to visit with their boyfriends that were on death row. These are all people that are vicious killers, and yet there was a group of women, and I would see these women, and they looked. No, they weren't freaks. They were not freaks. They were not purple spikes, lots of metal. No, they were normal, average, ordinary, next-door neighbor girls and young women that would go visit these guys on death row. And it wasn't there as some sort of social work process to help them. It was, they said that they were in love with these guys. I don't understand why this guy who killed 17 people is getting love letters, salacious photos, and money from young women and teenage girls. 855-295-6600. Should those girls be investigated? 855-295-6600. We will be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
I don't understand it. I don't know if you know anybody, these women that hang out with murderers, with heinous killers. What makes them? I'm serious. If they are investigating, and I told you last week there were some kids who brought weapons to school at Parkland High School. And somebody sent me a tweet later and said maybe they were doing it because of the fact that they were afraid that they weren't being protected, which is a good point. But you would think after what happened at that high school, that particular high school, this would be something that you would be not willing to do, is bring some sort of weapon to school. So they investigate anybody and everybody that has anything to do with the kid that was the shooter. They arrested his brother. They've done all that. Why don't they investigate these women? Why are they so enamored by this guy who did such a terrible crime? There's got to be something wrong with them, and you go, are they going to do something that's dangerous? So the jail employees in Broward County are reportedly opening every item sent to the shooter, except legal documents, and they return any obscene or potentially threatening mail to the senders. I guess that's the right. They inspect your mail if you're in prison. So he apparently is unaware of all of this, and I'm glad he is. But I don't know why they don't investigate these ladies that are sending love letters to him. There's got to be something twisted, and sending all kinds of who knows what state of dress or undress they're in. By the way, just follow up on yesterday just a little bit. A little bit of TV. I told you yesterday, during this hour, yesterday's show, about how I was, I saw the ratings numbers and how Roseanne's new show was huge. Absolutely huge. And a lot of you sent me tweets going, that Hollywood, I'll tell you, this is all a bunch of phony. They're just trying to make fun of Trump supporters. And I tried to tell you, no, this is, Roseanne Barr is a real Trump supporter. She likes him. She has been on the Trump train ever since he started running for president. And the character that she has is also a Trump supporter. And her sister voted for Hillary. So they argue about things that people are arguing about in families around America. And apparently the show is not going to be every week about politics, but it will be about, not Trump necessarily, but it will be about things beyond the election. And they're going to be talking about shootings, and they're going to be talking about opioids and medical care, Obamacare, all that stuff. So they're going to be having topics that are the kind of topics that you and I talk about on this program. But did you see, for those of you that were doubting me about all of this yesterday, and a lot of you did, you thought, oh, no, this can't be for real. I'm going, yeah, it really is. President Trump picked up the phone this morning and called Roseanne Barr to congratulate her on the return of her sitcom on ABC. And what really impressed him, being Mr. TV, is he saw the ratings and he said he was very, very impressed. 18.4 million viewers, more than doubling their internal estimates. Highest rating among adults for any comedy in 4 years since the Big Bang Theory. The president reminded Roseanne of a time that they had crossed paths in his New York days, according to a source that told Axios about it. The show is back for 9 episodes. I'll bet you they get more than 9. Usually they sign for 13 weeks on most shows. This is 9. It has the full original cast with the exception of George Clooney. All from the series that left the air 11 years ago in May of 1997. So Roseanne is a Trump supporter. And the headline on Drudge, it was the top story on Drudge this morning, was that Hollywood is more than noticing this. And they're starting to wonder, maybe we should do some shows that are friendly to Donald Trump. Oh, my gosh. Then what will you do? We'll be right back.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
So, speaking of television and Roseanne and all of that, there's a couple of things going on here. We've got Netflix naming Susan Rice to their board of directors. I want to get to that. I want to find out if that's going to make you sign up or cancel your Netflix subscription. But this other story coming out of the entertainment news is that religion is reclaiming the movies for a rate that they have never, ever seen before. It's record-setting. Faith-based movies are exploding from an obscure cottage industry into a multi-billion-dollar business. So if it's a multi-billion-dollar business, I don't care what you think about the people in Hollywood, in Tinseltown. They worship the almighty dollar, and they see billions. They're going to make it. So ComScore, which keeps track of all of this sort of stuff, said you can add faith-based movies to the list of genres that you can count on as a box office, as much as you can count on any genre. that these movies have come, however, they have to come from an authentic place, according to ComScore's senior media analyst. Said you can't just suddenly have an executive in a boardroom say, let's make some faith-based movies, because they're hot right now. Said you have to have them come from an authentic place, because the faith-based community will know if it's not the real deal. So we were talking during the break about Roseanne and ABC, and ABC is owned by Disney, and Disney wants to make sure that they have all of this covered. We've talked about it a million times on this program about I'd never understand why a musician or an artist or a movie star or anybody comes out and trashes Republicans, generally. Trashes anybody in the audience. That you're basically taking half of your customers and telling them go away. And I don't care what your political stripes are. Your money is green, and I'm more than happy to accept it. But I guess these people have made so much money they don't care. Well, Disney cares. And Disney is saying, we're going to put Roseanne back on, and Roseanne has been a surprise hit, and they're making boatloads of money right away out of this thing, and it's much bigger than anybody ever expected. But it ties in with this ComScore story about the fact that faith-based movies are exploding. Most of the film industry's short history has turned out very few religious films a year. But they are now showing four or five new releases a month. And they come from smaller distributors who, according to ComScore, says have really cracked the code on what religious audience want. And what they basically are making are movies of epic biblical dramas. And they put a modern contemporary twist on the stories from the Bible. Great, great stories from the Bible, and they just make them into modern stories. And apparently people are gobbling this stuff up. There's a movie out, Dennis Quaid is starring in it. It's called I Can Only Imagine. It brought in $17 million in its opening weekend, by far the biggest debut for a film from Roadside Attractions, which is making, they're one of the smaller distributors making these faith-based movies. And that was a $17 million opening weekend. It's been 2 weeks now, $38 million in total in the first 2 weeks. So ComScore says it's a surprise performance. That's one of the box office stories of the year. Alongside the five-week chart-topping run, of course, of Black Panther, which is in the hundreds of millions. But as we come up on Good Friday tomorrow, and Easter and Passover, there are eight films out there. Paul, Apostle of Christ, starring James Faulkner. Alongside a guy who played Jesus in Mel Gibson's Passion of Christ. So he's making biblical movies. They're in talks, actually, to do a sequel of The Passion of Christ. It's the most lucrative faith-based movie of all times. They made over $600 million on The Passion of Christ. It cost them $30 million to make it. Cost them $30 million. They made $600 million. So, I don't know why. Maybe we're in a shift. I talked the other day about young people, the March for Our Lives, and how every generation creates its own culture. They really do. I mean, your generation wasn't like your parents' generation. Your generation wasn't like your grandparents' generation. Your generation isn't like the kids of today's generation, which is why I don't put these kids down. They're creating their own generational culture. But in this, and I don't know what the age groups are on who's seeing all these various things, but this is where they're getting these faith-based movies are making lots of money, lots of success in Hollywood, and people are starting to pay attention. I don't know what this means. I mean, you can go back. Well, Hollywood's always made some of these things. There was a movie called War Room in 2015. Suffered negative reviews, but wound up making $67 million. 2014, God's Not Dead. I saw that movie. Made $60 million. With a sequel, making $20 million. Third installment of God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness, is expected to debut over the Easter weekend. This is when you roll out the religious films. You can go back to Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments, or Ben-Hur, or Hacksaw Ridge, or The Star. There's a bunch of these faith-based movies that mainstream Hollywood is taking a look at and going, I guess we ought to think about making more of those things. So then there's the Netflix story. I want to get this in before we get to the break. A lot of ruckus about it today, but I don't know if any of you are going to cancel Netflix over this. But Susan Rice, the National Security Advisor under Barack Obama, she's the one who blamed the murders of the four Americans in Benghazi on a lie. She said it was about a YouTube video. She now works on the board for Netflix. CEO of Netflix, Reed Hastings, said he was delighted to welcome Obama's former national security advisor. For decades, he said, she has tackled difficult, complex global issues with intelligence, integrity, and insight, and we look forward to benefiting from her experience and wisdom. I would say that, no, she hasn't. She has a pedigree that looks great on paper. She's a very well-educated woman, but I think she's lied through her teeth openly. So, you know, it's the old PR stuff. She says she's thrilled to be on the board. Others, not so much. She's been accused of numerous public lies. A huge pushback on Twitter to boycott Netflix and abandon subscriptions. Are you going to do it? Will Susan Rice joining Netflix? They're so huge. But will you give up your Netflix subscription to protest Susan Rice? Phone number here is 855-295-6600. You can find my phone numbers, email address, all the links to the show on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
So we got a lot of TV news for you today. I don't know if people will. We have a Netflix subscription at our house, but I don't think we use it enough. Maybe I should send them a firmly worded email and tell them to cancel my subscription. Just see what they do. I don't use it that much. We really should. They have some great shows on all that. But they're not the only game in town. HBO, Showtime, Hulu. They've got competition out there, but they are the kingpins, no question about it. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Will Susan Rice drive you to getting rid of Netflix? Or for those of you on the left, you're going to sign up just to make a point? Steve in California. Hi, Steve. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom, as you were announcing that Susan Rice is now with Netflix.
Yeah.
Remembering Benghazi and remembering Mrs. Clinton. Well, what difference does that make?
Yes, true.
To our soldiers getting slaughtered and murdered over there and Obama's involvement in it. remember the whole Benghazi mess that
it was a lie. It was a flat out lie. Now, why things went bad in Benghazi, they had all those hearings, but the bottom line is it wasn't the video. It was not the video. So they made, and there was enough evidence later to show that they knew that it was a lie. But they sent Susan Rice out there to lie. She's done it more than once. So I don't know. Why would Netflix want her? Why?
Well, Tom, as you were announcing it, I went to my account, my Netflix account. I canceled my account.
Yeah?
Because of Susan Rice, I canceled my account. And I'm now, as I'm talking to you, I'm looking at on my tablet at Hulu.
Well, you got to let them know why you canceled. Did they ask you?
Yes, sir. They do ask for a reason. As you are canceling, as you are terminating your subscription, there is questionnaire over there asking you what the reason why you are canceling. I let them know specifically.
Well, good. I'm kind of halfway tempted just to see what happens. I don't use it that often, and there's plenty of other good movies on other places. I don't know why. You know, it's interesting because usually if somebody does something wrong, says something wrong, is improper in whatever we do in broadcasting, this is all seat of the pants type stuff. We don't have a script, and so there's plenty of people I've come close many times myself where somebody has misspoke or said something that was offensive to somebody, and all the advertisers run away as fast as they can. Let's boycott them. They're going after Laura Ingraham because she said something about David Hogg was having a hard time getting into college. And so now the Media Matters, which has made a life of it's George Soros money, trying to do everything they can to try and hurt Fox or anybody that works for Fox, they're going after Laura Ingraham because of the fact she gave David Hogg a hard time. Well, okay, so why can't it work the other way? If they hired somebody who is controversial, says things controversial, why can't you tell them, I'm boycotting you? I think it makes sense.
I feel great, Tom. It feels great, Tom. I feel great for doing it. And I love the power of my wallet and the opportunity of speaking and protesting with my money. Whether that makes a big difference or not, I don't know. But if others feel the way that I do out there about Benghazi,
well, it's
and about Ms. Clinton, and what difference does that make? And Susan Rice,
it's just like voting. It's just like voting. You know, you get one vote and you think, well, does this make any difference? But you get a bunch of you that feel the same way, it does make a difference. So, I'm glad that you're doing what you you're putting your money where your mouth is. Good for you, Steve. Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy Hulu. See if you like it. I don't know. I appreciate the call very much. We got to get ready to get out of here. President's going after Facebook again today. In his tweets this morning, he says, I have stated my concerns with Amazon long before the election. Unlike others, they pay little or no taxes to state and local governments, use our postal service as their delivery boy, causing tremendous loss to the U.S., and are putting many thousands of retailers out of business. I'm not so sure the post office loses money on that business. So Amazon, that was from earlier this morning. Amazon wound up going up almost $16 a share today. But they've been hammered lately. So that's a 1% gain for Amazon. And Facebook also, after having about a 10% drop on Facebook, they're now trying to come out and say, I wonder if this is starting to wear off, because Facebook was also up about 4% today. $6. It's almost $7 higher. So the tweet did not work today, Mr. President, but it did work yesterday as Amazon stock was driven lower. So he's still complaining about Amazon, but I don't think he's right about. I think the post office makes money off that Amazon shipping business. I'll have to dig for the numbers, and we'll do it tomorrow, maybe. Meantime, what do we have going today? The market did turn around. I mean, it was one of those where I think almost everything went up. Because the Dow was up. Oh, man, this volatility is driving me crazy. Up 254 points today. Dow back above 24,000 at 24,103. The S&P was up 35 points, and the NASDAQ up 114. A lot of volatility still there. Oil hanging around at $64 and some change. And the price of gold was up 80 cents to $1,325 for 1 ounce of gold. On the comment line, this caller says Roseanne isn't going to be popular with other people in the entertainment industry.
Guess who the latest dartboard is in Hollywood? I think it might be Roseanne.
Well, maybe, but Hollywood has also got to go, hey, why is she on to, why is she getting all the ratings? She's doing something right. And this caller thinks the president is being a hypocrite.
I don't see how Trump can care for veterans when he said he didn't like people that were captured. I mean, they got a lot of veterans that were POWs.
Yeah, I get your point. That was something he should not have said, but he did. That was a John McCain swipe, but most veterans are not captured. Kind of interesting, you know, you think about it, most of them aren't. It's a rare thing. All right, we'll leave it with that for you on this Thursday. Tomorrow, Good Friday, we will be here. Hope you are too. We'll see you then.